Hello and welcome to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. This is Reverend Shreese Thorne inviting you to journey to all that is.
Hello and welcome to Knowing Spirit. This is a series dedicated to sharing, teaching techniques, methods, different paths, different ways, different thought forms, different levels, as many different ways as possible to become one with all that is, the creator that's within us, the spirit that is around us, the primordial energy from which we have to source from in order to create. It is vital to become aware of this aspect of ourselves, because this is the self that we will end up being for an eternity. The human aspect of ourself right now is very temporary. Eventually, we will evolve and become fully aware that we are spirit, what some people call God realization, and our existence will change considerably. But for the meantime, it is important to focus on how to become one with all that we are, or how to become or remember that we are all that we are, so that we may better enjoy our existence. Today I have a guest on the line. Her name is Angela Thorne, and she is the author of several books on how to become one with all that is. She's also the co-founder of the New Dawn School of Enlightenment that shares these teachings for the purpose of liberating consciousness and assisting others in awakening and understanding their divine purpose and self. Hello, Angela. How are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. Namaste to everyone.
Well, thank you for joining me today. And if you don't mind, could you give us a little bit of information about the books that you have channeled from All That Is, and how do these books help others become aware of who they are?
To put it in a simple form, I would say that if we do not have the tools or the knowledge or the awareness of a certain truth, we cannot strive to attain that which we don't know. So the books that I have received and that were channeled through as messages, I see it as simply information being given to us that we can use to strive to attain. In other words, information that is a little bit different to what we may have been exposed to, for most of us anyway. I am sure that there are spirit beings on this earth plane who know about this and maybe much more. But All That Is said in one of her messages that even the fully evolved person will see the benefit and will know the benefit of these messages. So these are tools to allow us just to move, to at least have something, a vision, an insight, so that we could move to that thing if we resonate with what is being said. And again, as All That Is has always said, there's never just one path. There are many paths to remembering the truth about ourselves. She is just sharing with us insights in a very simple form to help us to get back to that state of oneness, to help us to realize the true self, as you were just saying, that true self that is existing within us that we are not aware of. That is what we are striving to get back to, and to understand in the rite of passage, All That Is was sharing, that it is our right as a spirit being to be able to communicate with the energy that we call All That Is. It is not a being that is out there, you know, dictating to us, as we have been told in the past by many religions. But it's the divine energy that is existing within each and every one of us. And to know that it is the right of every spirit being not just some, or and you know, maybe a priest or a monk or whomever, maybe they don't even know to do that, and maybe they don't even tap into that area. I don't know. But it is the right of every spirit being to be able to communicate with their soul, their eternal God, their all that is self, to get to know that true self, the only one true self that exists. And the messages from the other books were taken from the sessions that were given over a period of I would say maybe 3-4 years.
And this is the second and the third book that we're talking about now. The first one is Rite of Passage, and that's already available. And the second one is called?
The second one is called Infinite Wisdom, and one that is going to be completed any time now with Infinite Love. And the sessions are broken up, and the messages are broken up to fit into these two categories, because all that is said to us, and unfortunately, I don't have the books in front of me, so I cannot read the channeled message for the back covers. But typically it's saying that we cannot remember that we are the infinite love that is existing unless we have the wisdom within us. And I think that is the most important thing. If we don't have that wisdom, we are not exposed to the wisdom. We cannot move beyond who we see ourselves to be at any given time. We have to have that vision, that wisdom within us, to be able to move the energies that we were once exposed to now change that energy and realize that everything, the only constant is change.
Well, the realization is the fundamental concept of the course, the New Dawn School of Enlightenment, Ascension and Enlightenment course. And for those who don't know, I co-founded the school with Angela, and it is a comprehensive 2 to 3 year program, depending on how quickly or slowly you move through the material. But the reason why we dedicate so much of our time to creating the material and sharing this is because the sphere beings that are around us, that the people on the planet Earth and the surrounding star systems or galaxies, if you want to go that far out, we all need help. So we're bringing this to the table, and there are other organizations bringing other teachings to the table. And when you bring all of these different teachings and these realizations together, what we're striving for is a greater sense of self-awareness, a greater sense of spirit awareness. So the sharing of any teaching from anyone is a privilege, because when you share, then you will receive. So as we are giving and sharing these teachings, we are receiving from all other spirit beings that are also blessing us with their wisdom, because it is a divine matrix. It is a divine cosmos where we are all interrelated. There are enough experiments done with quantum physics, which I have written about in my book, Knowing Spirits Are Healing the Soul. There have been enough studies to show that we do affect one another. There have been enough studies to show that what we do think does matter. In fact, our thoughts affect matter. So there has already been proof. What we are striving for now, or what I am hoping to do now, is help people use that awareness, that knowledge that what you think about is what you're going to bring about. How to control your thoughts, or how to become aware of what you're thinking, how to change your reality. We are focused right now on manifesting the laws of attraction. We use all the time, whether we know we're using it or not. So in the very first module of the school that we offer, and the only reason I'm talking about this program right now is because it is the most profound tool that I have been able to use to help awaken others. I offered many different types of sessions and personal consultations and astrology and energy work and retreats and seminars, but I have found that a group, a support network of other souls awakening to their divine purpose and working through material that they resonate with has been most beneficial, because the only permanent form of healing is self-healing. Therefore, I am guiding and I am leading and I'm teaching and I might be facilitating, but the truth of the matter is, and I don't use those words lightly, the truth of the matter is everyone is responsible for their own healing. All I'm responsible for doing is sharing as much as I can. But sharing is the word, not disempowering by taking over somebody else's life and doing what they need to do for them. It's by sharing, because, again, the only permanent form of healing is self-healing. That means everybody has within them all that they need in order to ascend, become one with the all that is, awaken the God consciousness, and live in this cosmic consciousness. What we sometimes forget is that although these teachers are wonderful, and I am one, and although these schools are great, and we have founded one, and these programs and these courses are all fabulous ways to move forward and to awaken into a higher level of consciousness, you don't need the teachers. The greatest teacher is within. And when you start tapping into the master that's within you, because sooner or later we're all going to be masters. Some of us are already masters. But once you start tapping into your higher self or your master self or your God-goddess self, then your truth comes to the surface. Your light is being shared, your knowledge, and you start to become an authentic God-goddess. You're not following a God anymore. You're becoming a God. When you start to follow your own truth and your own guidance, you become whole. Teachers can take you down the path, but to get to the end of the road, to walk through the door of true enlightenment and pure and full realization, you have to do that yourself. And that is sometimes a hard pill to swallow, because we have been so trained to think that power is outside of us or that other people are greater than we are. But the fact is, we are all equal. Energy just is. Energy is equally everywhere. So whatever energy is available within me is also available within everyone around me. I may have spent an enormous amount of time cultivating my energy field and cultivating my self-awareness and dedicating myself to expanding my consciousness and becoming as aware and conscious and realized as physically possible. So it might appear to people that I am more powerful because I'm capable of changing energy fields within another, but I just am. I am what I am. That's all that there is to it. Energy just is. So we are all divine and we are all holy, and that is all that I would like to give to another. It's just the reminder, the wake-up call. And these lessons are sacred. They were channeled through Angela and some of them through myself for the purpose of awakening the spirit beings here. We deserve to go to a higher place. And that doesn't mean moving the body from one end of the road to the other. It means expanding the mind out. So I have done a lot of talking. So Angela, we have been focusing on this first module with our students most recently, and we have been talking about trust with faith and how simple a concept that is, but yet we miss it. We miss how important it is to have trust with faith. And that's just about throughout all levels of our existence. The first lesson that these are laws. We talk about the laws throughout all the lessons. And that whatever you sow, you shall reap. So if you are not sowing with trust and faith, then what is it that you're going to be reaping? And we have people coming to us all the time saying, well, I can't change my life and I can't change my circumstances, and they're feeling helpless and victimized. But the reality is whatever it is that you're sowing is what you will be reaping. So if you want to share your take on that, Angela, so I don't take up the whole hour.
No, I have no problem with that. I like listening to you and listening to your insights. I think it's important for everyone to be aware that we are all different. and therefore spirit speaks with us in ways that we can each understand. So your exposure, the path that you are on has taken you, it's a little bit different to the path that I'm on, yet we are all striving to go to the same place. And something I would like to sort of, I guess, reiterate is that we have not been exposed to enough, especially maybe those of Christians or of a Christian background or coming from a Christian family, a Christian society, that we are the creators of our lives. We are the creators of our situations and circumstances. We are the creators of everything that happens to us. And the messages are being given to us to bring us into awareness of our thoughts and beliefs about ourselves. I know many years ago I would not have understood this theory. If someone had told me that, I will let them know exactly what I was thinking about them, and it would not have been coming from a very positive standpoint. But it is true. This is coming from experience now. I have experienced it, and because of the work that I have done on myself, or that I was given an opportunity to do on myself, the crystal healing, much energy work, a lot of thought, tracking, observations about myself, questions I would ask of all that is, why is this happening, what is it telling me, what is this message about, and continuing the dialogue with all that is to come up to a truth about me, for me. This aspect of myself that is in human form, that has been exposed to all of the illusions of time. I have to be able to understand what the message is for me and about me, and not about anyone else, because everything is just a mirror of what I am thinking about me, how I am feeling about me. And the emotions are simply the blocked energy that is telling us something about ourselves. But again, as you said earlier, unless we are willing to look at ourselves, unless we are really willing to acknowledge and surrender to all that is, all of the things that we believe to be true in the past, but we are understanding to be not of the grandest truth. Unless we are willing to completely make changes within ourselves, we cannot really get to that point of knowing anything different about ourselves, or to know anything different than who we are at any now given moment in time. And that takes a lot of trust and faith, as we have heard many times. It's the waiting. Without faith, we cannot really know that what we are trusting is taking place. So one has to develop a lot of faith. One has to have a sense of knowingness that if I put this forward to God, or all that is, or however one may choose to call that divine energy that is dwelling within us, that it is going to take place. It is there. Then we are not going to bring about what it is we are choosing to bring about.
Which I think is the most challenging thing for people, is they think that they can say a few affirmations, because that's what we've been told, but yet they're not aware of some other factors about the vibrations you're sending out. If you're not believing that you're able to receive or worthy to receive what you're hoping to manifest, you're not going to manifest it.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
That is one of the most important lesson one, have trust with faith, because if you want to bring about something, you have to actually believe or even ask for faith. You have to ask to even be able to believe that it can be created, because the very thought that it is impossible will manifest impossible.
That's right. It will be negated. The very thing that you're asking for will be negated by the very thought that, oh, that can never happen. It will never take place. It's too late. Yes, absolutely.
Which is why it is important to constantly observe yourself and your mind, and to participate in different programs that will keep you on track to the desire you want to fulfill. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, we have to be exposed to the energy that we are choosing for ourselves. We cannot just sit back anymore and believe that some miracle is going to take place outside of us to clear things up. We have to become very aware that creation cannot take place without thought. And the very thoughts are the things that are going to bring about or not bring about what it is we are choosing for ourselves. And in the lesson it says that you have whatever you sow, you must reap to the extent of the quality of the sowing. And again, you know, many of us, I know, you know, many years ago, I threw God and Jesus and all of my thoughts like that outside, because I felt that my prayers weren't being answered. But I was not exposed to the truths that we have come to know through these lessons, these teachings, from all that is. If we do not believe, truly believe, that we are worthy, that it is within us, and that it is going to happen, then it is not going to happen. That is the quality of the sowing. And you are going to reap something, but is it really what you were expecting to reap?
Well, I have a vision, a picture that one of my teachers shared with me, just to give an example of this, because sometimes it's easier to speak about, but just having a picture of it. Just imagine that there's two fields, and on the left side of the field you place seeds, and on the right side of the field you place another set of seeds, and there's a road in between the two fields. So on the left field you water it, you make sure that it has fertilizer, make sure that it's being tended to with love and attention. That means you go to the field as often as possible. To make sure that there isn't anything going on, there aren't too many bugs, too many animals maybe roaming around, scavengers. You just make sure that that field is blooming, because you need the flowers in that field, or even the corn. There's a lot of people who rely on the fruit of their field to live off of, if you think of food. So you're making sure that food's okay. And on the other side of the road, let's say you have another farmer who doesn't take the time to tend to his field, his or her field. And because of the lack of attention, the scavengers and the pesticides and the pests, let's put it that way, will move themselves from the field that's being attended to and go to the field that's being unattended, because they're not going to receive any resistance. So if you think about scavengers in terms of raccoons, because we have a lot of them here sometimes, think about them going and eating all the fruit, because you didn't go to your field and you didn't protect your field. And what do I mean by protecting? I mean by protecting by saying positive affirmations as often as you can, by giving yourself the opportunity to sit and reflect on your day. It doesn't necessarily have to be meditation, but reflect on your day. And what else? What is fertilizer? Fertilizer is a powerful, potent energy. So find teachers or find books or find a beautiful forest or some beautiful artwork that uplifts your soul. Do things to nurture it. What's water? Prana. Lift your prana. What are you putting in your body? Which is another one of our lessons, is that we don't think that what we put in our body is important. But the challenge is the body is the temple of the soul. And the soul is the link with our all that is self, or our creator self. So if the body that you're using to hold the soul, and the soul is the connection to your all that is self is toxic. How can you possibly be aware of who you are? All you have is poison in your system, and it's everywhere. It really is everywhere. And it's not to walk around and be afraid and be paranoid. Just balance out your body. Balance out the alkaline food with the acidic food. And that's a challenge because our diets are not balanced. And it does take some effort, but after a while it's worth it. Purify it. Detox. Detox physically and detox emotionally. Avoid violent movies. Avoid arguments just for a while. Avoid lower energies just while you're trying to cultivate a higher level of consciousness. Keep that field protected and safe. Care about that field as if that field was feeding you. If you did not have that food coming from that field to eat, you would starve. And in the end, that is exactly what's happening. On the left, we have a farmer who is tending to the field. They are taking care of themselves in every which way they can think of, with the thoughts they put in, with the foods that they eat, with the people that they surround themselves with even being aware of what's going on in their lives. They're looking at their life and what are their lives reflecting to them, taking the time and the desire to become one, or the desire to be more than what you are right now. It is what causes you to tend to that field, the desire to experience something else. And then the other field on the right, the person just doesn't either have the desire or just doesn't know how to tend to the field. So therefore, it is necessary for other spirit beings to be around just to teach people how to tend to their field. And then they can tend to the field themselves. We are not putting the seeds in the ground. We're just demonstrating how to place the seeds in the ground. Maybe we're not even watering it for them. We're just demonstrating how to water. We're just demonstrating, but at the end, the field belongs to the person who owns the field, not the healer. So all of these little aspects are really important when you're seeking to become whole, because we are both spirit and flesh. We are spirit being having a human experience, which we hear all the time. It's actually become a cliche. But it's through this body that we are becoming enlightened. This isn't a punishment. This is a privilege. You walk through this body, and you finally become aware and you realize, oh, I'm spirit and I'm really everywhere. I'm really immortal. I cannot die because I was never born. And once you start realizing these higher esoteric truths, you evolve into that which you were in the first place. But that's not done in the heavens. And the heavens are right here. You don't go anywhere when you die. You're right here. All the astral realm, all the different dimensions are all right here. It's just a level of consciousness that determines what you can see and what you can't see. So it is imperative to appreciate life. And one of the teachers in our program, Reverend Gail Thomas, lectures about how important it is to just be grateful for life. Because during our satsangs, every day we put out things that we are grateful for. Because the gratitude, the act of gratitude, will bring more to you. The sheer act of being grateful will bring more of whatever you're grateful for into your life. That is a law as well, that law of attraction. Whatever you're grateful for, you're opening up the door to receiving. But she suggests that it is imperative just to be grateful for life, because life is a tool. Life is a gift. Life was meaningful. We incarnated in physical for a divine purpose, and that is for self-realization, spirit realization, God, goddess realization, love realization, whatever you want to call it. But life is meaningful, however difficult and horrible it might be sometimes. It is so meaningful. And every time this lady mentions it, I forget how important life is until she mentions it. And you think you are appreciating it until someone comes along and says, oh, I'm really thankful for life itself, this dream time. Although I'm having a difficult time, I'm really grateful. And then I think, oh, goodness, that's right. I forgot to say I'm grateful for being here. I'm grateful for being alive. I'm so busy being grateful for all these different things that are happening within my life, but I forget to be grateful for life itself. And life, I mean, in terms of being in this 3D and having physical senses. And so I would like to thank Reverend Gail for sharing that with us over the last few weeks and teaching that that particular segment, because it is vital and important, because when you, consistent, repetitive, persistent, determined state of gratitude for life itself ultimately causes enlightenment. That's the key to it. That is the cause of enlightenment. The appreciation of life itself lifts you up out of the darkness. So if anybody asks, you know, what is enlightenment? Lift up and become aware, become awake. And how do you do it? Be grateful for existing. Be grateful for this opportunity, however difficult it might be.
Well said. Well said. Thank you. Yeah, that's really great. And so often we cannot really appreciate life because we focus on all the things that life is presenting to us that we really don't believe is beneficial for us. But again, once we become more grateful and when we lift ourselves up and we can see the beauty in even what we believe to be non-beauty, we will appreciate it even more. And whatever you focus on, you bring about. The more we focus on the things that are rotten and that are not good, that are so bad, and what people do to us and what something else is allowed to have happen, we will continue to bring more of that into our existence. So by being grateful for life, because life is what is going to allow us to have the experiences, then we can choose differently.
And choosing is what creates existence. Choosing,
yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And choosing, yeah. The choosing is the action part
that
is necessary in order to change what you're experiencing is the choice, making the choice. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the choice is to surrender and not resist what's happening, and sometimes the choice is to fight it. For example, if somebody's addicted, the choice is you've got to fight the addiction. But another person who's over-controlling needs to surrender to allow it to flow the universe. Everybody's so unique, you can't. Really, the truth has to come from within the person. But that choice. And every time we think, we choose. Whether or not we believe it. And one of the funniest things was last week I was recording a segment on prayers. And I was mentioning in the segment that I apparently was praying for tiredness for almost 10 years. Because every day I would get up and say, oh gosh, I'm so tired. I was praying. I was saying, thank you, universe, for making me tired. Because every time I would say, I'm so tired, I was creating tiredness. So if we think about it that way, we think, oh, what did you pray for today? Just put it in perspective. What did you say most often today? Did you say, oh, I don't know, or I can't afford this, or oh, I'm tired, or oh, that man drives me crazy, or oh, my kids are just incredibly difficult? Did you say those things more than once or twice or three or four times? Did you say, oh, God, I hate my job, and I hate having to get up in the morning? Whatever it is that you say, you have made a choice to create. Unfortunately, most of us are unconscious and we don't realize it, and I was unconscious for a long time, so I created a whole lot of tired. I created so much tired, I'm trying to combat all the tired I created then because I've spent so much time. It was my mantra. It was my chant. I'm tired, over and over and over again. But now I have to change my thinking, and I created a rut in my mind. Either I was too tired or I couldn't afford anything. It was a rut. It becomes a pathway in the neural system, in your brain itself, the nervous system. It becomes a pathway. And if you create that pathway over and over and over again until it's so solidified, it is almost impossible to create a new path. It really is. It's very challenging. And what the brain needs is some variety. It really does need some variety. So think different thoughts. Expose yourself to different paths. Doesn't mean that you have to change what you're thinking. I mean, I've studied every religion and worked with every master I could get my hands on because I wanted to expose my brain and my mind to other things. Because every time I exposed my mind to something, whether or not I agreed with it, I expanded my consciousness because I brought their intelligence into my field. It doesn't matter whether I believed them or not, but it was a wealth of information that I was accessing. and it was how I was choosing to react to the information. Okay, no, I don't agree with this, but this faith or this particular master was entitled to believe in what he or she was believing and teaching it. But I was still gaining from exposing myself to all these different paths. It makes you less opinionated. It also made me realize there really isn't an absolute truth. We think that there is, and there are all these people, these masters, me, one of them. I was so convinced that my truth was the absolute truth. What I realize now, the only truth is that there is no absolute truth. We are all love, and we are all divine. And if we are creating our own reality with our thoughts, quantum physics is right, and we're creating matter with our thoughts, and if what we are believing is what is creating our reality, how could there not be truth? Whatever you believe is true is what you're going to create. What I'm trying to avoid is telling other people what the absolute truth is and what truth is good for them, which is why I'm constantly trying to hit everybody over the head with their own truth is within them. I'm going to try my very best to help them access it, but as soon as you believe absolutely in somebody else, you've lost truth. Truth is really elusive, very elusive thing. It is so subtle, and it's within, that as soon as you turn away from it, it's gone. As soon as you turn your back on yourself, you've turned your back on truth. You've moved in the other direction. So truth is within your temple, the soul, your truth, because it has to come from a place of remembrance. If you go outside of yourself and you think, oh, okay, this master or this teacher, this guru, this author that I've hooked up with, she knows it all. They're the best thing that's ever happened, and he is it. He's all there is, and I'm going to just follow him or her absolutely, and I'm not going to think for myself. You have turned your back on your soul. Your soul would not have incarnated as an individual if it didn't want to think for itself. If it didn't want to think, it wouldn't have bothered maintaining or sustaining a form. It just stayed in the ether and been all formless. But it chose. It chose to be in a form. It chose to have individuality. It chose to have its own consciousness. Either you want to be conscious or you want to be unconscious. So since we're in this land of consciousness, every time you think, you choose. Every time you think, you choose. So that it is so imperative, not just to be aware of what you want, because your desires are your choices as well. It's what is it that you're thinking on a consistent basis? And that is the key to finding out how to change your reality. Because we all want peace and happiness. And the only thing preventing us from peace and happiness is ourselves. It is our own egos, and it's our own ignorance and forgetfulness that is causing us to be in any other state than bliss. I always say, even to my son, as soon as I have forgotten that I am spirit, and I'm only using my form to move about so I can experience, I'm in trouble. As soon as I've forgotten, I'm in trouble. The very second I forget. Because you become unconscious, and then you start to think that you are your body. So the trick is, stay awake, remember. And then the way to realize, or the way to become aware of you forgetting, is to do a checklist. Are you happy? Then you're aware. Are you sad? Then you're forgetting. Are you angry? Then you're forgetting. All these tools, this checklist. Now, if it's a valid reason to be angry, then fine. But if you're walking around angry and bitter and resentful all the time, you got to take a look at that. But it's your gift to take a look at that. That is your blessing, because that difficult emotion, that difficult experience, or what some people call the soul story, that story that is causing you to experience rage, is what will propel you out of unconsciousness. And going on to one of the lessons that we were just talking about recently, thoughts are your creations. If we are aware that if everything that we're putting out into the universe is going to eventually bring back everything that we've put out, we would actually think long and hard about everything we expose ourselves to, including television, radio. You have to be very careful with what you expose yourself to, not in a fearful way, but in a loving way. in a loving way. If you're going to expose yourself to a consistent, considerable amount of violence, you're accumulating those subtle energies in your mind. That's all that there is to it. It's in the mind. Everything you experience, whether or not you're experiencing yourself or watching a movie or visualizing it, it becomes an impression in the mind. And since we have lived a long time, we got a whole lot of impressions up in our head. So it's really, really vital to start taking time to be by yourself so you can become aware of what are some impressions that are going around that you don't even realize. What happened 15 lifetimes ago that you don't even know is still popping up today? Or even when you were 5 or 10, what's happening? So, Angela, what would you like to share about the program that it would be helpful for the listeners to hear in terms of how is this going to help them move forward? How is this going to help anyone get to a better place?
I would like to share at this point a reminder that we cannot get to the truth unless we go within. So for me, that is one of the most important things. I would encourage anyone, I would like to try to help anyone to get to the place of going within to meet your higher self, your Christ self, your Buddha self, your God self, whoever answers the call of the higher intelligence within you, to connect with that aspect of yourself, connect with the angels, connect with anything other than the ego. But in order to do that, we must be specific as to who we would like to speak with. And I believe in going to the very top. And that is what got me, I believe, to where I am today. Because I was arrogant enough at that time when I was feeling so out of whack. And as all that it says in the book, very depressed, although I didn't know I was feeling depressed. I was arrogant enough to say to God, as I was just knowing God Almighty, and I didn't know anything about all that, is I deserve to hear from you. I deserve to know the truth. And I kept with that, and I kept with that, because I had become so tired of listening to all of the different versions of what spirit was, and what you're supposed to do, and why you're not supposed to do it, how you're supposed to honor spirit, and how you're not supposed to honor spirit. I just wanted to simply know the truth. And I cannot get to the truth other than by going within. That would be what I would like to leave everyone with at this time, whether they follow our sessions, our messages. Go within. Get to that place where you could communicate with the higher intelligence. Get to that place where they can get to know the true love, the one love. Get to understand what the soul is trying to say to them. Communicate with that aspect of themselves. That is the only place we can really get to the truth. And I know that at the beginning, so many things were being told to me that I couldn't believe, because I was still grounded in the religious dogmas. It took me a while, but all that is only ever shared love with me. It never forced me into believing anything. And I was left alone with that. When I was able to accept, again, the message came back, but even in a more loving manner. It is a kind of love that we cannot experience through knowing each other as egos. That would be my gift that I would leave anybody with. If they choose to take our teachings and go with them, which I believe to be the best and simplest teachings for everyone, because I know myself that thought is really the creator. But I also know that these energies from the past are embedded within our consciousness, and they are embedded within our field. They are embedded within the mind. And it's not that easy to get out of it. We have to do a lot of energy work, maybe a lot of thought changing. But with the help of the divine essence that is within us, we are going to be empowered to do that. We will be guided as to where to go to understand how we can make the changes. Who will be able to help us? The guidance will come from within, that intuitive connection. That is what I would like to leave with all today. That is what I would like to leave with the consciousness of us today.
Sorry to interrupt you. Hello?
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 Hi,
yes.
Hal, is this?
Yes, it's Hal.
Hal.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for calling in. We were just
I was just listening to Angela, and I couldn't help myself. I had to call in. Hi,
Angela. Oh. Thank you, Hal. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And I want to get a copy of your book. I was wanting to send an email to Charisse last week, and I forgot to do that, but I read about it, and I'd love to have a copy. I know it's on Amazon.com, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. And,
so I hope I didn't interrupt you.
Not at all. I was just getting into my mellow little part, and it is so important for me, Hal, to get people to understand that the truth can only come from within. And,
yes.
You know, we are so going outside of ourselves for everything, yet messages are constantly being given to us. And,
yes.
And that is where I would like, you know, everyone to go within. If they choose not to take our teachings, that's fine. There are many paths to
yes.
get us back into knowing that true self. And even your poetry, I picked up the book last night, or Charisse, for some reason, you know, and handed me the book, and I looked at it, and I said, I want to bend the pages, because there's so many of these messages that I want to remember.
That's very nice of you to say.
Yes. Yeah.
This was actually a plan, which is I'm surprised that. Actually, I'm not surprised that you called in, but sometimes to demonstrate, like what where it is that we're trying to share. Sometimes it's easier just to share it in a different form.
Yes.
So one of the poems that you wrote, My Mind Paints, is a very non-confrontational way of seeing how we are the divine creators, but not in a fearful way, in an exciting way. So if you guys could just give me just 2 minutes to read this out. My mind paints. My mind paints this page. With the brush of creativity, colors of life appear in words, phrases, sentences. A new world is on the page before me. It is. Reaching out, touching those who I have touched before, but do not remember. Thoughts of connection fill my memory. An awareness of sharing moves my pen. Scribing simple thoughts of giving, that which I have to give, a knowing that we are all one in my rainbow pen of love. And that is My Mind Paints from Short Sleeves, a book for friends. And I thought that was pretty, a pretty simple but profound way of just feeling the soul, how the soul reaches out, and to the soul, every day is a new page.
Yes. Well, thank you, Charisse.
A blank page. And although we are conditioned, eventually the page will become pure, and the life will be filled with excitement and joy, and what I call bliss. And that is sometimes this poetry, in particular, this book, Short Sleeves, I think is very healing to be able to read. I mean, I love the book that I wrote and the ones that Angela wrote, but if exposing yourself to all these different types of songs of spirit, I call it. We were talking about your poetry last night. I was saying, it's not poetry. I don't even like the word poetry. It's songs of spirit. It shares. It makes you think in another way. So here's just another phrase that I would like us to leave off with. We've got about 3 minutes. I remember. This is also from Short Sleep. When I look at war, I see loneliness. When I see anger, I see loneliness. When I see hatred, I see loneliness. When I see judgment, I see loneliness. Loneliness is the biggest affliction in my world today. Emotional, physical, and spiritual loneliness. The feeling of being isolated, injured, or burdened in a way no one understands. A sense of being without resources creates pain, suffering, and despair. A formula of hopelessness. Nothing matters but escape. Escape from loneliness. Escape through judging everyone else. And my remedy is repetition. It seems I repeat what I seek to avoid. Loneliness is happening through me. Everything happening through me is happening for me to remember. Changing my thoughts eliminates loneliness. Nothing happens against my will. Rather than creating thoughts from a state of mind, I am creating feelings from a state of spirit. In spirit, loneliness does not exist. I are not divided. In spirit, I am connected in spirit, but I still see diversity. From diversity comes knowledge. From knowing comes experience. From knowing and experience comes feeling, which is the language of spirit, and the awareness that I am never lonely, only forgetful. But now I remember. So thank you very much allowing me to have a copy of this book. It was very profound, and I'm glad that I'm able to have it in my presence. So I do want to say thank you, Hal, for calling in as we wrap up today. Thank you for joining us and sharing the teachings of oneness. The website information is www.knowingspirit.org, and the number to call for information about any of the satsangs, the gatherings, the meditations, retreats, or the school itself is 1-815-483-1141. And Hal, is there a website you want to give out since you're on the line?
Well, thank you very much for your kind words, Charisse. Yes, my website is www.shortsleeves.net, and my daily blog is Hal Manoue, that's Manogue, .blogspot.com. And I look forward to picking up our conversation, Charisse. And Angela, it was good to talk to you.
Yes,
it was.
Nice speaking with you.
Yes. And yes. Thank you, Angela, for joining me today for today's show. And with that, I will say goodbye and thank you to everyone else who's listening. And I will look forward to a new topic next week.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. Please visit our website at www.knowingspirit.org. And if you would like to be a guest on our program or book a private consultation with Reverend Charisse Thorne, please call us at 1-815-483-1141. Until then, this is Reverend Charisse sending you light and love on your journey home.